Let us know your prayers tonight.
I would like to start with congregation singing two verses of a song, number 476, verses 2 and 3. Board tonight for God doth know secret things. This verse says all our words and thoughts are to Him fully known. Some things that none of us can look at another and be able to tell, to God they're fully known. For God doth know. I'd like for us to start tonight in a verse in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And here's why we need to fear Him. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the reason that 13th verse says, we need to fear Him, because He's going to bring into judgment not only the good things, but the evil things that were kept secret. We're living in a day today that the fear of God is lost in many hearts. It's fast departing in our society. And yet we have a song that says, O soul, be afraid, because you're going to reckon with God. O soul, be afraid. In His presence thou art. You have probably seen it before yourself. There has been a bumper sticker out in the past that sometimes we'll see on a pickup truck. No fear. This one says, you need to fear. Fear God. Fear Him enough that you'll keep His commandments. Because I'm going to tell you something. One day He's going to bring every work into judgment. Some of those works none of the rest of us will have ever known. But He'll bring it into judgment too. I remember as a child down in Louisiana hearing messages. Brother Salmon's bringing messages of hell. And whether I thought I was saved or not, I wanted to go back down and make sure. Fear. He's telling us tonight, fear God. Even though the fear of God is lost in so many places around us, to every one of us tonight, I want to say again, fear God. There's a verse that should make us fear God. It's in Galatians 6 and 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, there'll come a reaping time. It brings a fear to me today to see people that we know, people who have saints' children that have lost the fear of God on their heart, that have forgotten that God's going to bring every work into judgment. There is coming a day to pay for my sins. There is a verse in Psalms 34 and 11. It says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Yes. I'd like to say to the parents tonight, don't tire of your duty. Keep letting your children know. As you bring them around you at night for worship, tell them those stories in the Bible where disobedience brought punishment. That's where we're taught the fear of God. To the Christian, the fear of God is a deep reverence and respect. I don't want to displease you at all. To the sinner tonight, the fear of God needs to be a fear of impending doom. It's coming. I just don't know when. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, because He's going to bring secret things into judgment.
Yes.
What I have on the board, for God doth know, probably everybody remembers where that verse comes from. This is one time that Satan told the truth. When he spoke to Eve and told her, "For God doth know." Now the rest of the verse that he told her started twisting it. But tonight I don't want there to be any twisting. I want us to know. God knows.
Yes.
Sometimes, and I'll tell you tonight, to the children, to the young people, there is something deeper than I can get away from it. I get away with it because my parents don't know. There was a time when I lived at home that I thought that was the thing that I needed to watch for. Do my parents know? I want to tell you tonight, that's nothing compared to God knowing. There's a verse that I'd like for us to go to in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and then the 12th verse. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. The Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God is able to look down inside of me, inside of you tonight, and He knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of the heart. Those things that maybe in a lifetime will never surface for others to see, God is already judging it. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. 13th verse says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." This alone needs to cause me to fear God. Fear God to the point that I'm not doing this because of what you may see. I'm doing this because I now realize God knows and He sees. That part says all our words, our thoughts are to Him fully known. You remember in the New Testament where people would come to Jesus with a question and He went right around the question. It said He discerned their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And the question was not even what He responded to them with. He knew what was happening on the inside. Tonight, this message is not just to the sinner.
Amen.
This message is to me. I'm not home yet. The devil has a plan for every one of us. What will it take between now and the day I breathe my last for him to snare me? The devil's looking for my weak areas.
Yes.
He's looking for yours. Saved and sanctified folks, we need to be on guard. The devil is looking for a way to get inside. I've got a test that I'd like for us to take tonight. 2 Corinthians. In the 10th chapter. And in the 4th verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Is it just the sinner that can have strongholds? No. It's possible for there to be strongholds in my life that God is having mercy on me with, trying to reveal to me who I am. Before it becomes a sin, there can be strongholds. That goes on down in that next verse. Casting down imaginations. Have you ever had trouble with imaginations? I did. Maybe some of you have too. As a child, my parents at night would sometimes tell me, I need you to go outside. Maybe it's take out the trash, maybe it's something, get something from the car. I wouldn't tell them. I'm scared. And I would make it pretty good going there. But there was something that happened when I turned and started back to the house. And even as a child, I was pretty big. But there's something that happens that you can feel it. It is just fitting to get me. And everybody's in the living room. And you cannot turn the door handle fast enough. And then you step in the living room. And you cannot regain composure. And it was all an imagination. There was nothing to it. And, you know, you can't get the scared look off your face. It's there. It was an imagination. When I turned 18 years old, did that leave me? When I got saved, did that leave me? You know what? We still have the opportunity for imaginations to give us problems. Now, it's not so much, well, maybe sometimes even now, but it's not so much just the scared of the dark. But now, imaginations can move into areas of what you did to me, of what you said to me, and I know what you meant. You know, we have stories in the past of the Hatfields and the McCoys that passes down from generation to generation to the point that now I don't remember what we're fighting about, but I just remember we're supposed to be. Imaginations. This says cast them down. This says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to tell you, imagination can be a stronghold because it can tell me that I know why you said what you did to me. And I can carry that for years. It has caused people to stop coming to meeting because they know that you intended not to shake their hand at the end of service. Imaginations. And I'm on my way to eternity. With no end. And God knows the secret areas of my heart. He's telling us here, cast down imaginations, cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. For me to throw it down. You know, one of those high places is my human reasoning. I see it this way. I believe this is the way it should be. That I cast down imagination. I cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And there's another one. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have a verse that says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We're living in a world where sin abounds. It's everywhere. Folks, I believe, I know, I am to the place God is dealing with me about this one. I want to make heaven. I'm going to have to learn to bring every thought into captivity. Because I want to tell you tonight, I don't believe you'll sin without it being a thought first. Because it says, to him that knoweth to do good, there had to be a knowledge of it and a decision that I'll do it anyway. The importance tonight of my thoughts, and my thoughts are in this secret area that you don't see, but God sees. How careful I need to be. Sin is abounding around us. You can go down the road. There's a billboard. You can go into the grocery store. You can't check out without there being a magazine at the checkout counter. I want to tell you, we're going to have to bring into captivity every thought. Because I want to tell you, a sin, that first look is not a sin. When you're driving down the road and you see the billboards that the world is putting up today, and you see it, it's a thought presented to your mind. I'd like for you to think about it as the heart, the seat of my affections, is what both Satan and God would like to own. That doorway that I have control of is my thoughts. When they're presented to me, and I know they're wrong, do I cast them out? Or do I entertain them to the place that they become a part of who I am? Bringing into captivity every thought. I'd like for us for a little bit to look at, there's a process for sin. Let's take a look in James. First chapter. Twelfth verse says, blessed is that man that endureth temptation. In this wicked world that we're living in, there's a blessing to that man or woman that endures the temptation that comes. That those things that are presented to us. You remember Brother Lewis Williams talking to us? There's a message in every song. I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but I want to tell you that's true to every song. This book, when it was written, those songs in there were intended to reach our thought process. And I believe that songwriter desired that it would move from that thought process down into my heart. I want to tell you something. The devil realized that too. And he has put out songs that if you let it, God has the power to stop it at the mind, and you cast it out. You have the choice of if you allow it to come down into your heart and become a part of you. I am so thankful that I'm not judged by what hits my ears. Because I don't know if this has happened to you before, but I have stopped at a stoplight with good intentions. And a car pulls up beside me with his windows rolled down, and he's playing rap music that I didn't know, just traveling down the road and hearing it, that the words meant anything. But they do. And you don't have to hear very many of them until they try to penetrate. You will have to bring into captivity every thought. But I want to tell you something. God has given us the power to be able to do it. I don't want to leave it looking like we're going to have to go through life scared every day that I might not make it. There is power for me to live above it. But what I want to tell you tonight is there's a danger. Tonight I believe the devil would like for us to not be able to see the real danger of my thoughts. This one over in James, he's telling us, blessed is that man that endures those temptations. that through his life, yes, they came. They hit his thought process, but he asked the Lord to help him out, and he cast those things back out. Here's the prize for that. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The next verse says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And this starts with the thought process. It enters as a thought. I reject it or I accept it. Now, I'm not here to tell you how long it happens before it becomes sin. That's God's place to take care of. But I want to tell you tonight, because it has become more real to me. Dan, what's your thoughts? And I'm not talking about walking around with sinful thoughts. I am talking about the devil taking advantage of our thinking process. When Satan presents something that I don't have the power to immediately cast it back out again. It says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then there's a process. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. There's that verse in 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But then it says, whom resist steadfast. That's our place tonight. To every one of us, we can resist it, and God has the power to help us. Tonight, I want to be careful, but I want to tell you of an example. King David is an example of what we're talking about tonight. King David had a thought presented that was not sin. As he walked on his roof and he saw this woman, it wasn't sin. It was what he did with it after that that became a sin. I'm thankful for that, because you know what? If every time you walk through the grocery store and there's a magazine and your eye hits it and God says, you sinned. Wow, how would we make it through this life? But not. What it is that thought is presented and God says, let's kick it out. Let's replace it with something else. And he has the power to be able to do that. What David did after that sight was critical to his soul's destiny. There's not a sin committed when you go into a restaurant and you hear a song playing.
That's right.
It's what you do with it.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you, the devil is interested in sticking that thing in your mind. Have you ever had to try to take songs out of our book and replace it? Asking the Lord, would you help me out here? This is not the direction I want my thoughts to go. I want to tell you, the devil is real tonight. He will do anything he can to cause us to be lost. But God has the power. David didn't cast it out. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. We know the story. Cause the death of her husband. In 2 Samuel 12 and 7, you remember where Nathan came to him, told him the little story about the lamb, and then told him, David, you're the man. David then had an opportunity. What will I do? He could have had Nathan put to death, but he humbled himself. But there was something that was said in the 14th verse. Nathan told him, by this deed, you've given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. What a price it cost. It wasn't just for David. It was to the enemies of the Lord that had been looking on. We have no way to penetrate this. This holy people living for a holy God. And then they see this. There's a verse that I'm thinking of. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. For some of these things to never be named among us, it'll start with the thought process. Shut it down when the devil inserts it into our thoughts. The world's looking on, and they'll say, so that's how a Christian lives. Just about like the rest of us live. Let it not once be named among us. In 2 Timothy 2:19, says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That I not live my life just because you're watching me. And so I'm going to live careful because I want the saints to think well of me. But that I'm doing it because God knows the secret things. The things that you will never know. Now I want to move into another area for a little bit. David's thoughts turned into actions, which turned into sin. I'd like for us to look at another verse in Matthew. So does that mean that if there's no outward action, there's no sin? In Matthew 5 and 27, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. David's action put him in this category. The thought process can put us in this category. What I want us to know tonight is the seriousness of me entertaining thoughts that the devil presents to my mind and not taking care of those things and getting them taken out. With this, I'd like to encourage young people and old people alike, flee evil thoughts. They're presented in so many ways. No longer is it only in the back corner of the Quick Trip or 7-Eleven. When you're on the internet, you're one click away from the path that leads to destruction. In secret things. In the privacy of your home, where no one else sees, and the devil tells you that. No one else is looking on. Folks, when we leave here tonight, I'd like for us everyone to realize it really doesn't matter if no one else is looking on. God already sees. And when all else is said and done, he's the only one I'm going to stand in front of anyhow to give account for the deeds done in the body. A picture, a thought that's entertaining. The act is never committed. And God holds me responsible for sin. I believe there's going to be a lot of people, good people, lost from this. Evil thoughts. We have a song that says, watch and pray, the tempter may be near us. Keep the heart with jealous care, lest the door a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. I want to tell you something. Since I was a child, I've heard it taught by the ministers that television is wrong. Yes. Tonight I want to tell you something. This is why it's wrong. Hollywood is interested in presenting thoughts to you. The devil is behind it, and he's got a goal that you not make heaven your home. Here's a verse that says, son of man, I've made thee a watchman. If you see sword come, and you warn not, they'll die, and you will too. What a serious place. I never asked for this place. There was a time when I was only responsible for my own soul. Yes. And then I got married. And God made me responsible then that I make it and my wife make it.
Yes.
Then children come into the home. And now I've got more responsibility. And as a minister, for him to say, okay, you want to smooth it over and let it go and say everything is fine? Go ahead. You'll be lost too. So what I want you to do is bear with the poor old preacher that says, folks, I got to warn you. You'll be able to do what you want to do. But I want to warn you. The television is still wrong. And this is the reason. If you want to make heaven, I want to tell you, you're going to have to remove everything out of your life that introduces evil thoughts. Yeah. Folks, there's a protection for us. I think to the Christian, there's a verse that says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. He delivers them from this thought process. He's encamping around about us in this wicked world for me to be delivered, unless I have chosen to bring it in. At that point, I'm on my own. And I want to tell you, it doesn't stop with the television. It has moved into so many other areas. So I want to tell you what the guideline is. If it introduces evil thoughts and you want to go to heaven, get rid of it.
Yes.
It can be books that I read.
That's right.
It can be a novel that I read. If it introduces evil thoughts and you want to go to heaven, get rid of it. Music. If it introduces evil thoughts,
that's right,
and you want to go to heaven, get rid of it. And that way I don't have to talk about this song or that song or what kind of music it is. If you listen to the words and you would not want to sing it on Judgment Day, get rid of it. Lest the door, a moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there. I have another example for you. I don't want to look at a verse of a song because I don't want to make this look like they were asked, are there few that be saved? Jesus didn't even address the question. He said, you strive to enter in. Be serious about your own soul. But there's a verse of a song in number 196. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away, his anchor the promise of God's written word, to keep him by night and by day. That wicked one toucheth him not. That's the promise that the Christian has. So that person that has decided, Lord, everything that's in my control that can bring an impure thought, can bring an evil thought, I will get rid of that thing. Music is one of those areas. There's another example that I'd like to tell you. There was a young man that was far away from home when a temptation was presented. Secret things. Far away from the home of his father. Far away from the God of his father. Or was he? Joseph.
Yes.
Did he say, don't believe Dad would ever know? What was his response? I believe he knew this. God knows secret things. And therefore I set boundaries in my life accordingly. His response was in Genesis 39:9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I want to move into another area for a little bit, because maybe what I've just talked to you about, maybe you would say, well, we're in church services and that's like preaching to the choir. But I want to tell you, just throughout your life, be be on guard, because the devil would love to present at some time to you an evil thought. I'd like for us to look again in Hebrews in the 12th chapter and the 15th verse. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Where does a root of bitterness come from? What is the start of a root of bitterness? To me, as I've been looking at this, it starts with a thought. It starts with an action that somebody did, and my perception of it, and what I think they meant by it. And it says, this root of bitterness can spring up, trouble you, and many be defiled. And you know what? I can carry it to my grave as a secret thing. The church may not know it. It can be hidden. And yet I've got to meet it at the judgment. Hidden from everyone else, but it's eaten me up. And God has deliverance for us. David had a request in Psalms. In Psalms 19 and 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The 14th verse says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I'm begging you that you would help me that the meditations of my heart, those hidden areas of my heart, would be acceptable unto you. I've got one more area that I'd like for us to look at. Hidden areas. Areas that no one else around me may know. And I can carry it to my grave. 1 John 3rd chapter in the 14th verse. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Secret areas of my life. And you know what? I would never say those words out loud, that I hate this person.
Yes.
We know better. We might would in our heart say, I can't stand this person. But we probably wouldn't even say that out loud. But it's a thought that is waiting to enter the heart. It says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Just like I didn't kill him, no one else even knew it. And yet at the judgment, I got labeled a murderer.
Yes.
Because God judges those secret things of the heart. The saints take a look at the outside while God is judging the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Lord has dealt with me about this. It's possible for a person to go through life with a testimony of salvation, saints never knowing the secret things that were never cleansed. They leave here with a testimony, I'm saved. And from that testimony, the minister gives a message of they're gone to be with the Lord. Yet secret things kept them out. That's possible. David said, cleanse me, Lord, from secret faults. Is it possible for there to be a secret fault in me that I don't even know? I believe it's possible. I believe it happened with Peter. When Jesus came to him and said, Satan's desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But Peter, I'm praying for you. If Peter would have gone to him then and said, Lord, I did not even know that seed was there, that I could deny you, but I accept it, Lord. Would you please cleanse me from that secret fault that I didn't know I even had? What was Peter's response? Lord, I'll go with you unto death. I know that you perceive the thoughts of men. I've watched you do it in the past. But you've missed it on this one, because I know my heart. We're not safe. It is not in man that walketh to direct his path. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I'm gonna justify myself. But I need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse me from thoughts, from a seed that is down there that I don't even know about today. But you know that under the right conditions, it'll germinate and grow. And you want to purge it with my permission before it ever starts to grow. He wants to do that. I believe he wanted to do that with Peter, but Peter wouldn't let him. I've had the same thing happen in my life. Until I was able to see, by the Lord's mercy, who I was. I didn't see it. I felt like everything is fine. But one day, the Lord came along in mercy and said, Dan, this is who you are. We have a song, number 406. Sin can never enter there. When it has passed the thought process and I have accepted it, whatever it may be, and the world has more things than I could ever even mention tonight. It is possible on your cell phone, sitting in service, for you to go out on the internet and sin sitting in service. Allowed yourself to go to places that you knew God says don't do it. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. So what do I do about it? I'd like us to look at one more verse in Psalms. Because we have the verse in Proverbs that says, he that covereth his sin, he that wants to keep it a secret, he won't prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh, he's going to have mercy. In Psalms 139 and 23, I no longer trust myself to do the searching. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and I want you to lead me into the way everlasting. And that is going to start with us, with me, giving God control of my thought process. Because it'll never enter the heart unless it has first come through the thoughts. Been entertained, and I choose. Yes, I'll take that one in. Can we sing that song, number 406? I saw your prayers.